Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Real Life Radio. Good morning. I hope that you are well today and that wherever you are, there is the sun shining outside your window. I went outside yesterday to just get the mail and it just like dawned on me. It was like 70 degrees. Like, after the winter I thought would never end, I think like the last time I actually walked outside to go get the mail, I had to navigate around a 5 foot high mound of snow. Yeah, I don't go out that often. All right, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit about going out, but I'm not exaggerating about the snow pile. It was so high that at one point that to back out of my driveway, I had to kick my 16-year-old son out of the car to kind of like, you know, navigate, put him in the middle of the street and make sure it was safe for me to back out. He's in the middle of the street, but as long as my car doesn't get dented, we're all set. Oh my goodness. It's how funny things sound when you actually say them out loud. There are so many thoughts I should just keep in my head or the things that I do that I probably shouldn't announce. I stuck my son in the middle of a snowy road just so my car wouldn't get dented. Anyway, let's start with a prayer. That's probably a good place to go at this point. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the snow and we thank you for the sun. We thank you for the rain and the clouds. We thank you for all that you give outside our windows, the beauty of the world you've created. We ask you to please send down your Holy Spirit and help us to understand whatever it is today, Lord, that you're going to say to us, whatever it is that you have as we look at these fools, liars, and cheaters, whatever the message is for us, we ask you to open up our hearts and our minds to receive it and to be pleased with it. That's another thing. There's a lot that God says, and I'm not always on board. Lord, help me to be more on board with your perfect plan for my life. And we ask all this through your Son's most precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. So I have a little bit more sleep today, I guess it's a good thing. Feeling a little more rejuvenated, making me a little more goofy, though, I think. I spent this morning just on social media. And, you know, it can be so much fun. I don't know if you're a social media kind of person or if you're a person that just kind of finds it confusing or negative, or I really find that at some point you can really create your social media to be kind of what you're looking for. Like mine is so, I use the word Catholic centric. Like it's so Catholic centric that when I look at somebody else's social media or their phone, my son's phone, I forget that all of social media isn't all about Catholicism or Christ or Scripture. So I think it just, you know, takes a while to hone in and kind of push away those other things that are out there. I mean, sometimes they creep in because if your friends on Facebook might not care. Like today, one landed on my Facebook page. I won't even say what it is. And I thought, how is this in my newsfeed? It was just this graphic image of a male. And I thought, really? I mean, it wasn't pornography, but it was pretty close. Like, ew. I'm so glad that Facebook lets you like hide stuff and click off a box that says, I don't want to see anything like this anymore. Ew. But when you use the power of social media for good, I always say the power is for good. It can really be an exciting place to be. Just the connections you can make, you know, especially if you're somebody who's feeling kind of alone in your faith journey. So many times I meet women in my ministry work and they're like, I'm the only one in my family who goes to church, or I'm the only one in my family who has a faith in Christ. And you can feel pretty alone. And just to be able to, excuse me, to connect with other women and see that you're not the only one who believes in this great message that Jesus has come and died and rose again and that he has opened up heaven for you. That's a pretty cool thing. I think my voice is going to be struggling for a few weeks as we get used to this. The other bad news about snow being gone and trees budding. Yeah, allergy season. I'll try to be a smart woman tomorrow and take the allergy medicine before I go to bed so that I wake up allergy free. I'll take a runny, stuffy nose for the beauty of the flowers that the Lord has created any day. Speaking of connecting and how why I'm in such an excited, exuberant, joyous mood is I started blogging this week on this book called Cravings by Mary DeTorres Post. And I just wanted to share my own journey of really food struggles. I've been struggling with food since I was about 9 years old. Seems to be my go-to for comfort, my go-to for stress, my go-to for boredom, my go-to just because I like the taste of food. Like I have all these great reasons for eating. I just have never really conquered portion control and control over just, you know, I think there's some deep-seated rooted things going on in there, which we're going to get to the bottom of as we read through Cravings. And so I just thought I would blog about it and see what happened. I am so excited to see how many women are joining me there and how many are purchasing the book and reading along. Like you never have to read ever, either on A Seeking Heart or on, in my blog post. You never have to read the books to join in the conversation. I think, you know, conversation is such a wonderful way of connecting. And if you read the books, fantastic. You know, you have a different insight and God may speak to you in those words that we're not going to say in our conversation, but it's never, ever a requirement to. So if you want to come over and see what people are saying about their own struggles with their weight, their body image, you know, I'm not just talking about being overweight. I'm talking underweight or just a normal weight, but yet you don't feel completely good about yourself or you feel like there's something just with food that you kind of struggle with or exercise. We're talking about exercising today. I hate exercising. I haven't found one yet that it really speaks to me. I love tennis, but I don't really think, oh, I think I want to go play tennis today. I like riding my bike, but I don't ever think, oh, this will be fun or rollerblading. Or I did do some running for a while. I actually even ran a half marathon. I ran the Disney half marathon with my sister. And the only way my sister was able to run slow enough for me to stay up alongside of her was she was injured. She ran 13.5 miles injured. I love her. She's pretty athletic, in case you couldn't tell. But luckily she was injured or I would have been running that all by my lonesome. I really just haven't found the exercise that speaks to me yet. Walking, I don't know. There's got to be something, right? There's got to be something. So we're talking about that today over on reconciledtoyou.com. That's reconciledtoyou.com. Or I've been posting them all to the Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page too. So you can go there and link from there. Join the conversation there. Or join the conversation here. I know we're talking about fools, liars, and cheaters, but if you have weight on your mind and you want to talk about it, 855-949-1380, 855-949-1380. That's 855-949-1380. Or you can send me an email at info@reconciledtoyou.com. We are going to be looking today at the New Testament, a couple of people in the New Testament, Martha and Nathaniel, also known as Bartholomew and Philip, at least these three. And I was thinking the first two, Martha and who did I just say, Bartholomew? Yes. Today was like really about people who have these shining moments of faith along with kind of the tarnished moments of faith, you know, the wavering that we all do of between being really confident in Christ and in our faith in Christ and those moments of doubt that we have to battle and turn to God in battling, which seems kind of ironic. Like I'm doubting your existence, but I'm going to turn to you to prove it to me. I mean, I guess in a way it makes sense, but in a way it kind of seems, you know, like counterproductive, like, if I want to believe in somebody, like, do I really go to the source? But because I don't even know if he's there. But to me, that makes the most perfect sense. Because if you're trying to believe in Christ and you turn to him and he responds, then that's kind of a great way of knowing he's there. And I know in my own personal experience, he's never left me hanging. There's been moments of little darknesses, you know, when he makes me wait for an answer, but it's in those that I grow in faith. And he didn't do it right away. He didn't do it when I was a baby Christian. It wasn't like the first week I started to believe that he pulled away the consolations and the affirmations. He waited a bit for my faith to be strong enough to withstand those moments, those times of waiting to hear from him. But he never leaves me hanging. And I love that. I love that he always answers. And I hope that you also will take that leap of faith as we look, when we come back from the break, we look at Martha and Philip and Bartholomew, who had these beautiful personal encounters with Christ. They got to see him face to face. But God is so good that he doesn't just leave those for the people of the New Testament or the people who lived 2,000 years ago. We can have these personal face-to-face encounters with Christ right here and right now in the lives that we are living every day. So we come back from the break, we're going to look at a little bit of that and how, like, looking at the lives of these people who lived in Christ's time can be examples for us and models for us in finding Christ today in our own lives and in our own journeys. We are journeying with Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes by Barbara Husbeck, and you are listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Real Life Radio. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on listener-supported Real Life Radio. To support Real Life Radio, we invite you to go to realliferadio.com and click on the Care to Share program to find out more how you can help listener-supported Real Life Radio. Today on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Real Life Radio, we are looking at Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes by Barbara Husbeck, published by Franciscan Media. And I cannot believe it's Thursday and we're already done. Like, this is crazy. It just seems like I've waited forever to talk about the book and we're already on the last day. Tomorrow, Barbara will actually be here. So we're not really done talking about the book, silly me. Barbara Husbeck will be here tomorrow to discuss Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes with us. I think it's very interesting that she has a psychology background. She has a BA in psychology, and it kind of, you see that, you know, as you get through the stories and you see her analysis of these characters, they're really from that psychological point of view. So I'm looking forward to getting more of her thoughts tomorrow on, you know, how this book came to be and, how she just sees these people like this. I'm sure her psychology background has a lot to do with it. It's fantastic. I hope you've enjoyed it. You know, if you've missed any of the shows, don't forget, they're always out on realjoy.podbean.com, or you can just go to my show page on Real Life Radio. See, they shouldn't start the same. Real Life Radio and Reconcile to You shouldn't start with the same syllable sounds, because that just messes with my head. And I always, you know, if you're a Facebook person, they're always posted on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. And there you can also make comments if you have any feedback on the show or on this week's topics or anything on the books. If you had a book you'd like me to look at, always open to suggestions. info@reconciledtoyou.com or A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. Now, without further ado, Martha, 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 Martha. This chapter is titled Warrior, not Warrior. I'm a warrior and faithful witness. The first time we meet Martha in the scriptures, in the gospel, it's that great scene with her and her sister and Jesus. You know, the one where she's got the tray of goodies and she's standing over Jesus's shoulders, looking down at her sister at his feet, and she's complaining to Jesus. You know, she's trying to get Jesus on her side. And she's saying, "Look, Lord, do you not care?" This is the quote right from the scriptures from Luke 10. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself?" Okay, I'm adding the emphasis, but okay, I'm a sister, so I know. This is how I would be talking. "Tell her to help me." Like, I love this, that she's like scolding Jesus and asking him to be on her side. I love it. But the Lord answers her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Now, when I first encountered Luke's gospel and this passage, I knew, I recognized instantly myself as Mary. There is not a Martha bone in my body. And speaking of that, do you not find it very funny that this character, but she's a person from the Bible, Martha, is also, I mean, don't you think of Martha Stewart when you think of somebody with those characteristics of serving and taking care and domestic goddessness? You think of Martha Stewart. So I always laugh, and when I think of this person being named Martha, there's no coincidences. Tell me that God wasn't behind this. He's such a funny guy. So here we have, you know, this situation with this Martha Stewart type of person. And I saw instantly, like, that's not me. I don't have a domestic bone in my body. My poor husband, like, I don't enjoy any of those activities. I don't enjoy cooking. I don't enjoy cleaning. All right. Not that anybody really enjoys that stuff, but most people enjoy cooking. Just ask the Catholic foodie, right? But I don't really think there's too many people who enjoy cleaning. If you do, I totally want to hear from you. 855-949-1380. What is it about cleaning that you like? What is it about crafting? I don't even like crafting. We make these beautiful rosary bracelets, my friend Lori and I, for Reconcile to You Ministries. You can find it under RTY Swag if you're curious to see what they look like. And we were doing it this week, and I love doing it when I'm with her, but I don't have the talent to do it myself. Like, she has to start and end them for me. It's like when I knit, I need somebody to cast on and take it off and end the project. I'm just not a good alone crafter type of person. I just don't get it. You know, I just don't see how it happens. And she even showed me, like, slowly, step by step. And I'm still like, yeah, I don't understand how you're doing that and how you made it look so pretty. So I don't have a domestic bone in my body. And when I look at this story, I thought, point for me, I have the better part. I'm the one who's willing to, like, just sit and pray and contemplate and write and listen to God. And then you keep reading, and you see the second time we see Martha. And Martha is the one who goes out to Jesus when her brother Lazarus has died. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. This is in John 11. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha responds, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus replies back, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she answers, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." She has great faith. So we see, even though she was a warrior, and maybe, you know, and that's not, we're told 365 times in the Bible, do not worry, do not be afraid. So we see this kind of this vice of worrying, but then we see this great faith from her. And it reminds me that we need balance. It is all about balance. It's a balance in our life. It's balance in faith. I look around my house and I think, I need a little more balance. Like, I need to spend a little less time working. And because I've convinced myself, because I work for God, because I do ministry, like, that should take precedence over everything else. And that's not true, because my vocation as wife and mother also needs to have some place there in the world, and I need to give it time. So I need to learn balance. And that's exactly what Barbara Husbach, here in her book, Fools, Liars, and Cheaters, tells us. Finding balance. Compulsive activity can lure us into setting standards we can't meet without distorting the balance in our lives. We lose perspective. When we try to impose those standards on others, it creates tension. Because she was trying to make Mary care about the things that she cared about in the way she cared about them. And this is something that happens quite honestly in my marriage. My husband, he is more of the looks around the house and says, well, this needs to be done. This needs to be done. This needs to be like the dishes, laundry, the vacuuming. And he has a quite a different standard of clean than I do. Like I talk about, and I'm truly like, we have that company clean and we have the family clean, and I'm perfectly content and happy in family clean. That means that there's still some stuff around. I might not vacuum every day, or I might not vacuum every week. It's not gross. It's not dirty, but it's cluttered. There's stuff. Like I have stuff. And I get books and I keep the books next to me until I have time to read them because I don't want to forget to read them. Where he's like, put them on the shelf and make a list. Like, you're not going to forget there's books there. You don't have to keep them on the couch next to you. Like, the dishes need to get done. You have to take that 2 minutes away from whatever you're doing to take care of those things that are important. And I'm not always good with those balance. You know, I can be compulsive, truly compulsive in my wanting to work. Am I wanting to pray and study God's word? And where there is a greater part of that, absolutely. Like, we need to spend time with God. We need to be in his presence because he wants to be part of everything. But he also teaches us that we can pray without ceasing. And I can be doing the laundry and still spending time with God. And I can be vacuuming the floor and still be spending time with God. So there's that balance. And I sometimes very easily lose perspective. And Barbara writes, when we try to impose, I suspect, she writes, Martha did everything she could to get Mary to help her before appealing to somebody with more clout, a.k.a. Jesus. Some of us may find we have both Mary and Martha tendencies within us, Barbara Husbeck writes in her book, Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes. That's what we're journeying with this week. There are tasks that need to be done in the real world. I'm so convicted on this. I'm so glad I read this book. On the other hand, the times we feel most driven are the times we most need and are less inclined to pause and breathe in the presence of the Holy Spirit. When we are tired or frantic, it's hard to see clearly that what really needs to be done now, what can be postponed until tomorrow or even indefinitely. So there's a lot of balance to be learned here, and it goes both ways. Like, are you somebody who's way too busy to pray, or are you somebody who is maybe spending the time too much at Jesus' feet and not making the time to do the things that need to be, like I am? If you have something to add to the conversation today, 855-949-1380, 855-949-1380. And I'm going to leave you with the thoughts of St. Francis de Sales. People need to pray at least a half an hour a day. Busy people should give an hour. We are talking today about Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes by Barbara Husbeck. And you're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on listener-supported Real Life Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on listener-supported Real Life Radio. To support Real Life Radio, go to realliferadio.com and click on the Care to Share program. We are sharing this week Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes. This is the best title. Like, I think I have a contest, I think, with the titles of the books that we've done here on A Seeking Heart. See which one wins. This is pretty far up there. That's pretty good stuff. By Barbara Husbeck, published by Franciscan Media. Don't forget that each week I give away a book. This week I'm obviously giving away Fools, Liars, and Cheaters, and you can go to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page to enter. The first week of May, I'm conjuring up a very cool, ginormous giveaway. Keep listening for that. I have Bloggers Week. Something special I'm going to be doing for the first week of May. Each day I'm going to have a different guest, and they're all bloggers, Catholic bloggers, and I'm looking forward to sharing them with you. They're fantastic writers. They've got some really great stuff kind of helping us grow our Catholic-centric social media. So they'll all be here, and We're working out a mega giveaway for the first week of May. Then the rest of that week, month, we'll be looking at some Mary books. We're going to give Mary some time, especially during May. Today, I am looking at Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes, and we're looking at one of my favorites. His name is Nathaniel, also known as Bartholomew, which is kind of a funny story for me in my life. I have a friend whose son's name is Nathaniel, and right after my reversion, when I started to read the Bible and I realized that Nathaniel and Bartholomew were the same thing, the same person, I started calling Nathaniel Bart. I don't know. It's just one day came out. I just thought it would be funny to call him Bartholomew and then shortened it quickly to Bart. And 10 years later, Nathaniel is still Bart to me. It's just what I call him. And he just gave me the greatest honor. One of the greatest honors ever is he asked me to be his confirmation sponsor. So now I get to officially be his godmama. And I'm so excited about that. And I had to do Nathaniel on the show when he's in this book. He is the one that is known to be without guile. And I love that. And there was a time a couple of years ago, like at the beginning of every year, I usually ask God for some guide of where he wants me to go for the year. Like, where should my study be? What virtue should I be working on? And a couple of years ago, it was kind of crazy. My prayer came to Nathaniel and working on being without guile, you know, being this just very authentic person, somebody who when you meet, I am who you meet. And it didn't come because I was trying to be all lofty that I wasn't who I met. It kind of came from my lack of self-esteem at that point of being who I was and being uncomfortable with who I am. So I was really working that year on being a woman without guile. And that very year without, of course, I didn't share that with anybody. Nobody knows who I'm, you know, what I'm praying about that year or who's journeying with me. Well, you guys all know it's St. Faustina now, but usually I don't share that. And Nathaniel was in an art class. He's homeschooled like my kids were. And he made an icon. It was an icon class and you had to make your own icon. And he made Bartholomew and he had it blessed and he gave it to me. And this was just, like I said, a couple of years ago. And I just like burst into tears. You ever have God do something that just so overwhelms you that it's so cool that only God can make it happen that you break into tears? Or maybe it's just me. I break into tears about everything. I'm very sentimental. And it was crazy. So I have my little icon. And if you've ever had, you know, a moment where God just broke through and showed you in such a profound way that you are hearing him correctly, love to hear from you. 855-949-1380, 855-949-1380. How has God spoken to you as you journey to get closer to him? Now, Nathaniel is, we're going to look at him today on, again, on Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes by Barbara Husbeck from Franciscan Media. He's called the skeptic. Maybe he was discouraged and thinking about giving up his faith. You know, remember, Jesus encounters him sitting under the fig tree. Or just giving up, period, because life is so hard. Maybe, Barbara writes, he was at a crossroads wondering what direction the next chapter in his life would take. Maybe he just lost a job or a loved one or was pouring out anger at God. Maybe he was just praying to know God better. We'll never know. That's the point. Whatever Nathaniel was thinking was between him and Jesus. Barbara continues, Nathaniel was alone with his thoughts in the presence of no one but God, and yet Jesus saw him, knew him, and called him to follow. Whenever I see something in the Bible that's really kind of ambiguous, I think often of the thorn and St. Paul's side. You know, we never find out what that thorn is. You know, that's the thing he asked three times in Corinthians for God to take away. And God never removes the thorn. He keeps it there. And we never find out what it is. But we do learn right after that, that St. Paul says that he accepts the thorn because it's the thing that keeps him connected to God, needing God and turning to God. And like when I see again this ambiguity, I said it once, I don't know why I tried to go there twice. I should have just counted my blessings that I got it out first time. When I see these things that aren't completely clear of what they are, here we go, then I think that's on purpose, because in that thorn, I put my own self. What's my thorn? What do I need? You know, what is in my life that God isn't taking from me like I want him to, that keeps me reliant upon him? And in this case with Nathaniel, I'm thinking about what thoughts would I be having under that fig tree? You know, what discussions, what prayers am I having with God under that fig tree? What would Jesus find me thinking about today? And that changes from day to day. So it's just like the same thing with the thorn. The thorn changes from day to day or month to month. But I love that the scriptures, you know, we can put ourselves in them. You know, that's, they're meant for a personal journey. They're also meant to teach us about the faith, of course. And there's, the Catholic Church has its teachings around the scriptures, but it doesn't mean that Catholics also can't use it for personal reflection. And that's one of the things I never knew. I thought like there was a translation of the Bible and I follow it. And if I, that's it, but that's not it. We have the beautiful tradition in our faith that we also can use God's word to speak to us, to our hearts. We don't have to worry about what's right and what's wrong, because we're not teaching it. We're encountering Christ through it. And when we see Nathaniel, like, I totally can relate to his encounter with Christ. This moment of when God recognizes you, you know, back to the story I started with, like, here I was having this discussion with God, you know, in my prayer, in my head, in adoration, and thinking, is God really hearing me? And then to have this young man hand me this beautiful work of art that he put so much time and energy into, and all that icons mean, and it's blessed. Like, that just said to me, yes, Allison, I hear you. And you're on the right track. I have called you to be a woman without guile, to be a woman of authenticity. There you go. And here we see that Jesus, Barbara writes on, Jesus was attracted to Nathaniel's sincerity. That's what I want to be. I want to be sincere. Hello, that's not a tough word. I know I psych myself out. I do this in sports too. If you ever want to beat me at a game, just point out something that I might have done not correctly. And then, yeah, you've won. He wasn't turned off by his honest doubt. Jesus wasn't looking to surround himself with yes men or women. Whatever Nathaniel was thinking under that fig tree, it didn't stop Jesus. Jesus valued Nathaniel's ability to speak what was on his mind. That's good news to all of us, if you ask me. Instead of agreeing with Philip to avoid making waves, Nathaniel's spirit didn't need changing. Just his mistaken understanding of God's plan. This is good news for us as followers of Jesus. We need to know that it's okay to doubt. That doesn't turn God away from us. That doesn't stop God from entering in that doubt. It's in that doubt that we learn who God is. Like, if you question things, then you find the answers. Like, there are some people who are blessed, who've never questioned it, who never waver in their faith. That's how they encounter Christ. But that doesn't make us bad or worse Christians because we doubt and we struggle. It just makes us different. We're all made different, right? We're all made in God's image and likeness, and he's a pretty big God. So there's going to be different parts of him in each and every one of us. Not that I think God doubts, but I'm pretty sure God doesn't doubt. But in our humanness and our fallen nature, we do doubt. So what are you doubting? What do you need God to show you? What do you need God to encounter with you under that fig tree? 855-949-1380, 855-949-1380. If you want to share that with us, maybe there's somebody listening who will be the voice of God in your life right now, who will shine that light into your doubt, shine that light into where you are and what you're struggling with. Just like that young man, you know, was that light for me when he handed me that beautiful image of Bartholomew. It is great news for us, Barbara writes. It means our struggles and doubts, no matter how secret, are not hidden from God. no matter how deep, they do not ruin our chances of being called, blessed, and used by God. Honest doubt brings us close to God because Jesus is the truth. The Apostle Thomas and his doubt are well known. Even seeing wasn't believing for Thomas. He frankly admitted he would not believe had Jesus had risen unless he not only saw the scars, but touched them as well. And Jesus addressed his doubt, and that's in John 20. And I love that line that says, when Jesus says, not just a line, Jesus says to us, "Blessed are those who do not see yet believe." And that's you and I. We are the ones who are blessed to believe even though we don't see. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue with Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes by Barbara Hasbeck. And we're going to look at... it'll be a mystery. Come back. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Real Life Radio. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Real Life Radio. And we are entering into the final segment of today's show, and we're talking about Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes by Barbara Hasbeck, published by Franciscan Media, and there's still time for you to join the conversation. 855-949-1380, 855-949-1380, and I'm going to read a comment that I got on Facebook during the break. Thank you, Jackie, for sending us your thoughts on today's topic. She wrote, "I'm definitely a Martha." I'm trying to put my R in there. Martha. Martha? Martha? I have no idea. You're going to get the Boston version. Martha. "So much so that people used to call her Little Martha," as in Martha Stewart. "I've gotten to be more like Mary since coming back to the faith. I've become more like Mary. Yeah, that's right. You know what? Okay, there we go. "Since coming back to the faith, I've become more like Mary as God has put me in situations where I don't have the time to be like Martha, like working in the city. God always fixes things that need fixing." I love that. I'm sorry I didn't say that very clearly, but basically she was saying that she's always been like Martha, but in her new role and in having to work in the city and travel, that she doesn't have time to do that anymore. So God has, you know, through the different circumstances in her life, through that change, has helped her to be more like Mary. And I love that. I love that she could see that. That's the important part of growing in faith, is when you recognize things coming from God and you recognize God moving in your life. That's incredible. That's a gift. And that's kind of a measure that we're getting closer to God, that we're doing, that we're growing spiritually. If you're not recognizing those things, it doesn't mean you're not growing spiritually. I'm sure you're growing in a different way, but that's just something to look forward to look, to kind of be aware of, is trying to see God in all circumstances and in all situations. And can be so easy to get discouraged. You know, she could have looked at that new commute, which is kind of long and arduous, as a punishment or a deterrent in life. But instead, she saw it as God opening up a new door to her, giving her time to read, to contemplate, and to be with Him instead of being away from the things that she was once used to doing. Love that. Thank you, Jackie. We are going to finish up today by looking at Philip. My page is stuck together on the last. I was like, I know I mentioned somebody at the beginning, and I actually had two people, Tabitha, but you'll have to read Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes to learn more about Tabitha. We're going to look at Philip, and Philip in this case is actually not the Apostle Philip, which I did not realize until reading this book. This is the deacon Philip, which I thought, okay, this is another really cool thing. I'm trying not to overlook for signs in, you know, Kevin's discernment of the diaconate, but his middle name just happens to be Philip. Just saying. Maybe it's a sign. God is going to do what God's going to do, whether I see the signs or not, but this is encouragement for me, and it made me smile. So this is actually a different Philip. This is the deacon Philip, not the apostle. Even though it's in the Acts of Apostles, which is probably why I got confused and thought it was the other one. And here we see in the Acts of the Apostles, it's Acts 8:26-40. Barbara quotes in here, "Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Get up and go towards the south to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" And I love that it starts with this nudge of the Holy Spirit. It's one of those things in my life that I might personally hold on to and love that God does. Like, he just nudges us to do things. And some things seem a little crazy. And you have to think to yourself, well, was that the Holy Spirit or was that me? First of all, if it seems really, really crazy, ask God. Make sure, be clear. Like, you know, Lord, it's not like I doubt what you're doing. Kind of like that following Mary's example. Like, it's not like I doubt that you can do this and this is what you're actually doing. Just make sure that I'm hearing you correctly and following your directions correctly. We don't want to doubt God, because then we'll be like John the Baptist's dad and not become mute. But we want to be clear that we're being called. And one of the crazy things that God does for me is I will see somebody, the face of somebody in somebody else. I will be driving down the street and the car coming in the other way, the person driving it looks like somebody that I know, but it's not that. It's clearly not that person. But then it puts them on my heart and I start to think about them. And then it becomes sometimes even a stronger nudge to respond to the Holy Spirit and reach out to that person. And I can't even begin to tell you the miraculous that God has done in that response to the Holy Spirit, the absolute miraculous that he has done. So here we see Philip being nudged to take this journey. And he encounters an Ethiopian. And I'm sure his name is in here somewhere, but I'm reading too quick and I missed it. And he says, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Because the young man is reading the scriptures. And he replied, "How can I unless somebody guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture was, and he shares scripture. It's a eunuch. And he asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does this prophet say?" He's reading from Isaiah. And of course, he's talking about Jesus. Is he talking about himself or someone else? And then Philip begins to explain the scriptures to him. And he has a great conversion. And on the spot, this Ethiopian, this eunuch, is baptized. And it just reminded me again of our opportunities where God inspires in our heart to share the good news. And when we answer that, when we answer that Spirit's call, we do become a hero. Even if there's no conversion from it, we've become a hero because we have stepped out in faith and courage. Remember, courage is not doing something in absence of fear, but it's doing it in spite of fear. And I know many times sharing my faith has been a great act of courage, because I don't know the response I'm going to get back. And sometimes the response isn't very pleasant, but it doesn't stop me. It may halt me a little bit, but I'm so excited when I see Philip's story, when I see the deacon Philip's story, to be reminded that in my boldness to follow the Spirit's nudge, God can use me as an instrument of conversion in somebody else's life. And, you know, that's definitely a chance worth taking. According to the Acts of the Apostles, the Philip that we're talking about here is one of the seven deacons originally appointed by the apostles to help distribute funds to the community of believers. Philip and the other six deacons were chosen because they were full of spirit and wisdom. Okay, now, another aside, a little side road here. This could be another sign for Kevin, because his sign name means smart. Someone gave him the sign name that's smart, wisdom, wise. Though I think he's more of a wise guy or a wise bottom person than he is. He's a comedian. The man is a comedian. Someday I think we'll have to do some podcasting together. Anyway, the Holy Spirit did not confine using Philip's wisdom to distributing funds, Barbara reminds us. The Spirit also did not confine Philip to sharing his wisdom with Jewish believers. Acts records Philip's preaching, baptizing, and performing miracles among Samaritans, people looked down upon by Jews. That's in Acts 8. Philip was among the first to preach beyond the Jewish community. Following the promptings of the Holy Spirit, Philip was moved to share the good news regardless of the background of his audience. So, I mean, that to me, it's totally today's lesson, is being open to the Holy Spirit is when we listen to Philip and being willing to respond to that. It also requires, as Barbara reminds us, that we need to be flexible. She calls the end of this chapter about Philip is called going with the flow. Following the Spirit's nudge, she writes, Philip found himself in the a place I'd have no idea. No doubt sharing the good news wherever the Spirit moved him. This going with the flow apparently was effective without leading to instability. The Spirit eventually led Philip to Caesarea. We catch up with him later in Acts, still residing there with four unmarried daughters who are also proclaiming God's word. So it's just amazing to me. Like, you never know where God's going to send you, but you have to be open and flexible. Just to conclude here, structure, Barbara writes, is a necessary part of life. As a deacon, Philip had the responsibility of distributing funds to needy believers. I'm sure organized planning was necessary in performing this duty, yet Philip also seemed able to go with the flow. There are times that require flexibility. This can be challenging to some people, but letting go of control doesn't mean surrendering to chaos. Flying by the seat of your pants isn't haphazard if we're relying on the Holy Spirit for guidance. Barbara, your book has been just a remarkable journey, a vehicle for our journey this week. And all of these lessons, each one of the 28 amazing people we have been able to encounter this week in Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes has been remarkable. I've learned so much. I'm working on this blog series called Lessons I've Learned based on the books that we've reading here. And I really need to find some time to get that done. I hope you will join us tomorrow when Barbara Hosbach is here herself to share her thoughts on Fools, Liars, Cheaters, and Other Bible Heroes from Franciscan Media. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on listener-supported Real Life Radio.